I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, I give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled. John 14:27 goes right along with our message today. If you look back at 2 Corinthians chapter number 12, we'll see Paul is recounting an experience in his life, and in humility he speaks of this experience. I believe a student of the Bible could look at Paul saying, I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. Such an one caught up into the third heaven. The Bible tells us of three heavens. There's the atmospheric heaven. We know that is where the clouds live and the birds fly. But then we have the terrestrial heaven where the stars are. And then there's that third heaven where God is. Amen. And then in that third heaven, Paul says, one was caught up and was into paradise and heard unspeakable things. And I believe a student of the Bible could look back to Acts chapter 14 at a time when Paul was stoned to death at Lystra and died. Amen. And rose up. And I believe that this time and this account was that time where he literally was caught up. His soul and spirit had left the body, and he was caught up into the third heaven. And the Bible says here in verse 4 that he heard unspeakable words. Brother Jeff, they were too holy to even speak of that he had heard. He saw the third heaven of God where God himself dwells. And ladies and gentlemen, I'm glad we can sing that song, What a Friend We Have in Jesus, amen. But can I remind you, young people, that there's another song we sing, and it's called Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, amen. God is holy. And he says here, he recounts this experience, and he talks about how he has room to glory, but God wouldn't let him. Look at verse 7, if you would. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelations. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, 14 books, if you count the book of Hebrews, and I do, of your New Testament was written by the Apostle Paul. If anybody had something to glory about, he did. But you know what he said? I don't have anything to glory about. He said it in 1 Corinthians, I am what I am by the grace of God. And so he said, lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelations, there was given me a thorn in the flesh. Thorn in the flesh. Many Bible commentators have speculated what that thorn was. Some have said Paul's eyesight was terrible. And he said, I believe he bore it out in Galatians that he's written such a large letter to you. And he didn't mean a long one, he meant big words. That could be. Some have said that the Apostle Paul's back, through all the beatings, was simply one gigantic scar. I don't know what the thorn in the flesh was. The Bible does not tell us what the thorn in the flesh was. But Paul simply tells us here that he had a thorn in his flesh. I titled my message today, When Thorns Remain. Some of you today have thorns. Some of you have the thorn of physical problems that you deal with all the time that nobody knows you deal with. Some of you have you got the thorn of loneliness. You long for that one that's gone. I think of Brother Fred Casabo mentioned this morning how he misses Hazel. And listen, after 61 years married to somebody, you would miss them too. There are some that are dealing with the thorn of loneliness. There are some that are dealing with the thorn of physical problems. Some of you, even this morning, I think of our sweet Joanne Wireman, dealing with the thorn of losing a loved one. A thorn. Some of you deal with the thorns of your past. You remember what you used to be. By the way, the devil doesn't let you forget that. Praise God, God forgets it. God forgives and forgets. But listen to me, young people. David said, my sin is ever before me. Some of you deal with the thorn of your past. Can I say that, very simply by way of introduction, thorns hurt. thorns hurt. I don't know what you called them out your way. Out our way, we called them pricker bushes. Pricker bushes. Some people call them pricker bushes or picker bushes or thorn bushes. But we used to have under our deck at our house at 8 Linda Drive, Westfield, Massachusetts, we had a wild raspberry bush, Brother Miller. And I love those wild raspberries. They were good. But you know what you had to do? You had to get through all those thorns. And being a dumb 10-year-old kid, you know what? I just thought, hey, look, raspberries. Ouch! Thorns hurt. I remember the first time I actually saw a thorn vine from the Holy Land. You know, ladies and gentlemen, those thorns aren't like the pricker bushes. Those thorns that they smashed down on our Savior's head about this long. Thorns hurt. And Paul here says that God allowed him to have a thorn in the flesh. And I want to give you, if I could, simply this morning, a simple message. When thorns remain, let me give you 10 points this morning. Aren't you glad I didn't write notes on 10 points? Amen. I had about 40 pages worth of notes. Amen. Let me give you 10 things to do when thorns remain. The first thing that I see here in our text is realize that God has a purpose in the thorn. We stated it already. Look at verse number 7. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the flesh, there was given me a thorn in the flesh. Realize, ladies and gentlemen, that God, in His infinite wisdom, has purpose in the thorn. We've talked about it. We had in our bulletin today, if you looked at your bulletin in the pastor's desk, I have never heard anybody, Brother Salmon, say, you know, I just can't wait to suffer. What a blessing. By the way, if you say that, I think you might have a screw loose upstairs. Amen. Your elevator doesn't go to the top floor. Amen. You're a couple McNuggets short of a Happy Meal if you think that you like suffering. But can I say this, ladies and gentlemen? When Paul talked about the power and the glory of God in Philippians, he said that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His, do you know it? Sufferings. God has a purpose in the thorn. Listen, I don't know. There's so many times as a pastor when somebody comes to me and say, Pastor, why is this happening? And I have to confess, I was talking to Pastor John yesterday, and I said, Pastor John, if you go to Watertown, Wisconsin, there's a great college there named Maranatha Baptist Bible College. And if you go to Pontiac, Michigan, there's a great college at Midwestern Baptist College. And if you go to Powell, Tennessee, there's a great college, Crown College. If you go to Lancaster, California, there's a great college, West Coast Baptist College. And I could go on and on and on. They don't teach a class when somebody comes to you and says, why is God doing this? You know why? Because there are times when I don't know. Just like you. Mrs. Cook, I don't know why you're not well. I don't know why that's happening to you. But I know that God has purpose in the thorn. And I think the first thing that we need to understand when this thorn remains was realize that God has a purpose. I've always said God is 12 moves ahead on the chessboard. Amen. He knows what He's doing. He's not made a mistake and He won't start with you. Realize that God has a purpose. Something else that Paul did, number 2, in verse number 8, he said, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from me. Something else to do when a thorn remains is request the removal of the thorn. You say, but God didn't remove it. But Paul prayed. Who's to say God might not want to remove yours if you'd pray? For the Bible says we have not because we ask not. He said, ask and it shall be. Yeah. Seek and ye shall. Knock and it shall be. And then he goes on to say, and he uses that continual tense, he that asketh. I think sometimes, Brother Phelps, the reason we don't get answers to prayers is we stop asking. We say, well, never mind. See, Paul, 3 different times said, God, please remove this thorn. And I don't believe it was just because he was in pain. I don't just believe that it was because he was hurting. I believe he thought it limited his effectivity for Jesus Christ. I believe he thought, Brother Bolts, I could do more for you, God, if I didn't have this thorn. But then we have to go back to point number one, don't we? Realize that God has a purpose in the thorn. Nobody likes thorns. I don't like them. I like the raspberries, but I didn't like having to put on the leather gloves, Brother Jared, to get at those raspberries. But there are thorns, aren't there? There are thorns that we see, and when we have thorns, we need to realize that God has a purpose. We need to request the removal of the thorn. Something else that we see here from Paul, also in verse 8, it's implied here. Verse number 8, "For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me." Number 3, respect a no answer from God. Respect a no answer from God. Paul begged God 3 times to remove this thorn. You know what God said? No. Does God still get to be God? Does he? He does. He does. Listen, I'm not minimizing your thorn, please. Some of you have you're dealing with cancer in your body. That's a thorn. And don't, please don't think I'm judging, because I'm not. And I haven't been in the situation that you are in. But I know this, God is still God even when you have a thorn. He's still God. He hasn't given up on you. He hasn't forsaken you. Respect a no answer from God. We said it in Sunday school. God does answer prayer. He says yes, no, and keep asking. Amen? Yes, no, and wait, we could say, as He answers our prayer. But here, Paul, in his life, he said, "Please, God, remove this thorn. Please, God, remove this thorn. Please, God, remove this thorn." And he said, no. There are times when God says no. I mentioned it in Sunday school again this morning. Listen, I have a 2-year-old. He loves ice cream. He thinks that that's all you can eat, ice cream. And by the way, when we eat ice cream, it is all you can eat. It's buffet, amen, ice cream, amen. I like ice cream. That's okay. But you can't live on just ice cream. I love potato chips, amen. I love Reese cups. By the way, somebody bought me a bunch of Reese cups this morning. Thank you, whoever you are out there, amen. Bless you, amen. My dentist thanks you, amen. But you can't live on Reese cups. So when my son comes to me at 10 o'clock at night and says, "Ice cream, ice cream." And I say, "No, Daddy just finished it." No, I don't say that, amen. Sometimes I have to say no. Why? Because I'm a bad father? No. Listen to me, ladies and gentlemen. Sometimes we think God is our ATM machine, and that He has to say yes every time we put our card in there. He's not. He's God. And He's got purpose. He knows what He's doing. So when He says no, respect a no answer from God on the removal of the thorn. Number 4. Look at verse 9. "And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in mine infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." Number 4, recognize His will is better with the thorn. Recognize His will. In other words, ladies and gentlemen, it's better to be in the will of God with the thorn than to be out of the will of God without the thorn. You say, "What do you mean?" I think I could illustrate this. I heard the story of a small church, country church, where a young lady surrendered to the mission field. And she was going to the mission field of China, Brother Hauser, back in the days where it was, before it was under communist rule. They still let missionaries in freely. And they had a ceremony, a little going away party for this young lady, and they asked her father to say something at the ceremony. And the father was a farmer, just a tough old bird, and was kind of bent over, and his hands were gnarled from years of labor and work. And they asked him to say something. He was a very quiet man. He didn't have much to say, and he simply said this. He said, "Well," he said, "nothing's too good for my Jesus. And if he wants my Susie, he can have her." Well, as the week progressed and she took a boat to China, the boat sank. She never made it to China. And now they had a different kind of service at that church. And it wasn't a bittersweet service. It was just simply a bitter service at this dear child that, with everything in her, wanted to go to China, didn't make it. And the pastor, not knowing what to say, and by the way, pastors don't always know what to say, ladies and gentlemen. There are just times where we don't know what to say. And the pastor asked the man if he would come up and say a word of encouragement, say something. And he simply said, "Nothing's too good for my Jesus. And if he wants my Susie, he can have her." You know what he recognized? That God has a purpose. And God has a will, and it's better to be in God's will with the thorn than it is to be comfortable outside of the will of God. Pray that God would help us to understand that. And by the way, it's still okay to bring your complaints to a loving God. He listens. He listens. But understand and recognize that it's better to be in His will with the thorn than to be outside of His will. Number 5, right out of verse 9. Boy, you just can't miss this. He said unto me, "My grace is sufficient for thee." Rely on His grace is number 5. Rely on His grace. Oh, I'm so thankful for the grace of God. Grace of God. God's grace, that unmerited favor of God. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, in case you didn't realize it, you don't deserve the grace of God, and neither do I. God gives it because He's wonderful. Now you think about the saving grace, amen, that He gave to you. To trust Him as Savior, that saving grace that He gave to you. You know what He says in this passage here? He talks about sufficient grace. Hey, sir, ma'am, you're going through financial reverse. You know what? His grace is sufficient for you. Hey, sir, you're going through difficulty, maybe having a hard time in your marriage. You know what? His grace is sufficient for you. His grace, it's always there. His grace is not only sufficient, according to this text, it's strengthening grace. God provides strength when we're weak. I can give you a personal example of that. Last Sunday morning's sermon. I was so weak. I didn't realize it. I went home. Some of you asked me, "Are you feeling better, Pastor?" I was. I went home. I had 102 fever, which somebody told me is pretty high for an adult. I went home and slept. I was so weak when I preached. I thank God that when I'm weak, His grace is sufficient. When I have a thorn, His grace is sufficient. It's sufficient. Even in the thorn, rely on His grace. Let me give you the hardest part of the message right here, point number 6. Look what it says in the middle of verse 9. It says, "Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in mine infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecution and distresses for Christ's sake." Rejoice in the thorn is my 6th point. Rejoice in the thorn. Now, can I freely confess to you that is easy preaching and hard living? Because you know what you have every day? The thorn. You know what you have when you wake up every day? The thorn. Whatever it is. If it's emotional, if it's mental, if it's financial, if it's a spiritual. Whatever it is, whatever that thorn is in your life. You have it every day. But God says here, the Apostle Paul says, "Hey, listen, I take pleasure in the fact that God trusts me with this thorn." And ladies and gentlemen, little furnaces are for little faith. Little thorns are for little faith. Big thorns, big faith. Amen? You understand what I mean? God's trusting you with that thorn. God knows you can handle it. God would not put any more on you than you could handle. And so you know what you can do? Even though you're going through the difficulty, even though you're going through the fire, so to speak, you can rejoice that God has allowed you to have a thorn. You say, that's hard, Pastor. I know it is. I know it is. I've watched people who rejoiced in the thorn. And I watched how God blessed their lives in spite of the thorn. God had His hand upon them. God wants to have His hand upon you. If you've got a thorn that remains, rejoice in the thorn. Rely on His grace. Recognize His will is better. Respect the no answer from God. Request the removal of the thorn. Realize God has a purpose. Number 7, rest in His strength. Look what it says at the end of verse 10. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Why? Verse 9, the end. Most gladly will I rather glory in mine infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Ladies and gentlemen, the Christian life is not meant to be lived in your own strength. It's not. You know why? Lost people live in their own strength. And lost people do some incredible things. Have you ever been to a city where there were skyscrapers? I remember the last time I was in New York City, it was six weeks after 9/11. And the buildings were still smoldering. And I remember Brother Jenkins looking up at a building, literally standing about this close to a building, and looking up, not being able to see the top of it. And you know who built that building? Lost people. See, a human being can do a lot of amazing things in their own strength. But one thing you can't do successfully is live the Christian life in your own strength. See, ladies and gentlemen, we're supposed to rest in His strength. When Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Why? Because He gives us the strength to go on. When you say in your heart, "I just don't think I could go another day," His strength will help you if you'll rest in Him, if you'll trust in Him. Rely on His grace. Rejoice in the thorn. Rest in His strength. Something else we have to do, number 8. I like this. I need this so many times. Look at verse 10. It's a strange verse when you read it. "Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong." Number 8, readjust your attitude toward thorns. Readjust your attitude. You ever have somebody say that to me? To you, I have. You need an attitude adjustment. Amen. That's so true. You know, I say that to my teenagers. "Hey, I can see your attitude all over your face." Amen. You know how that is. Amen. Look like you've been drinking the brine out of the pickle jar. You know, eating lemons for breakfast. I don't know. Baptized in pickle juice. I don't know. Sometimes we need to readjust our attitude. You say, "What do you mean?" Listen, there's a lot of paradoxes in the Bible. Jesus said here, you know, we read this passage, "When I am weak, then am I strong." We have to readjust our attitude towards that. Jesus said, if you want victory, you know what you got to do? Surrender. That doesn't make any sense. See, we have to readjust our attitude towards God's perspective on the thorn. Again, let me make this as clear as I can. I'm not judging you if you've got a thorn in your life. It's not my place. Sometimes the thorn is chastening, and all God's people said. Sometimes the thorn remains because we've made bad decisions. But sometimes it's from God. And God wants to show Himself mighty in our lives and wants to work and show us that He's there. So we have to readjust our attitude towards scriptural thinking. What does God think about this? What does God have to say about this? What does the Word of God have to say about this? That's readjusting your attitude. Because you know what, ladies and gentlemen, no matter how much we put the flesh down, no matter, Brother Boston, how many times we cut the head off of that fleshly snake, you know what it does? It keeps growing back. And it wants to rise up and tell us that God hates you and God's forsaken you. And God doesn't want to have anything to do. Remember what I always say, the devil is a liar and the father of it. Readjust your attitude. Give yourself a scriptural attitude adjustment. Amen? Readjust your attitude when thorns remain. Number 9. I like this. Ready yourself to be a blessing. Ready yourself to be a blessing. Hold your place there. Go back just a few pages to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter number 1. Pastor, why am I going through this? Why do I have this thorn? 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 3. I just can't go any further than the Scriptures. I don't know why. But I could tell you, I can give you one reason, maybe, why. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all, what's the next word, church? Comfort. Who comforteth us in all our tribulation or trials, amen, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth in Christ. You know who the best comforter, other than God Himself, is to a person who's lost a child? Somebody else that's lost a child. You know who the best comforter to someone that is in financial distress is? Someone that was in financial distress and came out of it with God's help. You know who the best comforter is to that person that's in constant physical agony? Is a person who's gone through that personal agony. See, what are you trying to say, Pastor? Ready yourself, when the thorn remains, ready yourself to be a blessing. So many times, we go into the spiritual fetal position. And it's just all about us. And again, please, ladies and gentlemen, I'm not minimizing a thorn. If you come to me and tell me you have a problem, I don't share that with people. That's between you and your pastor, and I pray for you about it and all that. But listen, ladies and gentlemen, Jesus Christ, when He walked on the earth, He suffered, He hungered, He thirsted, but you know what He was interested in? He was interested in meeting the needs of other people. Think of the miracles we just studied on 12 years. And Jairus came to him and said, please, should you come and heal my daughter? And as he was going, a woman with that 12-year issue of blood grabbed the hem of his coat, was healed. And as Jesus went, he was all about meeting needs. Matthew 9:35, and it says, and all the multitudes came to him and he healed them. Listen, we talk about readjusting your attitude and stop thinking about you, and think about how God wants to use you through this. Readjust your attitude. Ready yourself. Probably the most precious of all, number 10, and I'm done. Remember His promise. Hebrews 13:5, ladies and gentlemen. It ought to be one of the most precious verses in your Bible. It ought to be a verse that you have either marked or highlighted. If you do that, some people don't, that's okay. But it ought to be a verse that's right up here. For He hath said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. Pastor, why did we lose a child? I don't know. But God didn't leave you. God didn't forsake you. God was with you the whole time. Pastor, why isn't my marriage good? And obviously we know there's answers to some of those things, but sometimes where there is no answer, I have to remind you to remember His promise. He's not going to leave you. Amen? God's a gentleman. He's good by His word. I'm not going to leave you. I'm not going to forsake you. Even when thorns remain. Even when thorns remain, God's promises are still true. Mentioned it in Sunday school or in prayer time this morning. Psalm 138:2 says, "My word have I exalted above mine own name." Listen, ladies and gentlemen, the name of God is holy. The name of God is pure. By the way, the name of God is one of the Ten Commandments. We're not to blaspheme. We're not to use His name in vain. His name is important. But you know what He says is more important? His Word. And ladies and gentlemen, you're sitting here today and you've got a thorn in your life. And I don't know what it is and only you and God know what it is. Listen to me, ladies and gentlemen. Remember His promises. Remember, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Somebody said when he wrote that promise, how could God say that? I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I could tell you exactly how. Because when Jesus Christ was on the cross and he said, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," which is to be interpreted, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Listen, ladies and gentlemen, the reason you and I will never be forsaken is because Jesus Christ was forsaken for our sins on the cross of Calvary. You're here today and you don't know Christ as your Savior. Can I tell you something? He loves you with an everlasting love. He loved you enough to die and bleed and pour out His blood and suffer for you. You're here today and you know Christ, but you've got a thorn. And maybe you've been barking at God a little bit about it. He's not forsaking you. He wants you to understand that He has a purpose. He wants you to respect a no answer. He wants you to recognize that His will with the thorn is better than without. He wants you to rely on His grace and even rejoice in the thorn and rest in His strength. And sometimes to readjust your attitude, to ready yourself to be a blessing. And most of all, to remember His promise, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Let's bow our heads.